We are on Samach Dalet Amud Beis. My guess would be we're on B2, but it might be B3, if all I know. We are up to Amar of Yehuda, Amar of Asi. And the way to find it is go across from Taisus V'chol.
B2.
You go across from Taisus V'chol, and you move up three lines. Amar of Yehuda, Amar of Asi. Amar of Yehuda, Amar of Asi. Tzvar v'zarkai, Eglai v'naitlai, Zaychel ha'atma v'ein zaychel l'acherim. Okay, if a person, if a child is of age, that he knows to throw away a rock and to take a walnut, he can differentiate between a walnut and a rock. Means he has some understanding of items. He, at that point, he can be zaycha for himself and not be zaycha for others. Now, I'm going to speak out of Machlekes Rishonim, even though the rest of the sugya I'm going to learn like Rashi. But it's kedai to speak out this Machlekes because this thesis is widely quoted and it's negeya many times in Halacha. Rashi Shita is that no katan can ever acquire anything from himself biblically. Any acquisition that a katan can make is a takana drabanon. Like we had the takana of pu'utais, number of blood ago, when they made a takana that a child should be able to acquire things in the store, they made a takana that a kid can acquire things when somebody gives it to him. Or when he finds a metziah we had earlier, they made a takana, they dark yishalom. So one of the takanas of Haman was, that once a kid is of age, then he recognizes the difference between a rock and a walnut, to a stone and a walnut, he can acquire things from himself. But according to Rashi, this is a rabbinic takana. Taisus learns that this is biblical. It's called Das Acheres Machna. Taisus learns that as long as one of the two parties involved, either the one who's giving it or the one who's receiving it, has the ability to biblically make a kinyan, that das can work to make the kinyan work even for a katan. This is negeya.
What's the lesson? Das?
Das acheres machna. So when the kid finds a metziah, nobody is giving it to him. There is no das. Therefore, you need a takana drabanan. But when a kid is given a present by somebody, then he acquires it biblically, according to Taisus. And now, Kamina would be, you give your 10-year-old your lulav and estrig on the first day sukkah. According to Taisus, it becomes the property of the kid, biblically. And biblically, the kid has no right to give it back to you. Therefore, the next morning, you wake up and you don't own your estrig and lulav anymore. Because das acheres machna makes it that the kid acquired it biblically. No, only when somebody else is machna. You need the machna to have the das. And therefore, that's a problem. Therefore, they say, don't give your kid the day, the estrig on the first day, because it won't belong to you, and the estrig has to belong to you on the first day and the second day of chutzlaretz. Whereas, according to Rashi, it's only a rabbinic problem, not a biblical problem, because it only becomes his rabbinically, not biblically, and therefore it might be a it might be okay, because rabbinically he might be able to give it back. It's a bigger sugya. I'm just mentioning that thing. But we're going to be learning like Rashi, so we're going to stick to this is all rabbinic, no biblical in this whole thing. So let's read it inside again.
So the Nor brought before the Pe'utos,
it's all rabbinic. That's for sure rabbinic.
I know. The Gemara, but the Gemara didn't say anything about Sror, Zorko, and just said numbers.
Right. Right. Correct.
Is this an explanation of that?
No. I would hope that a kid before he turns 7 or 8 knows the difference in a rock and a walnut.
How about a rock and a hard place? What I'm trying to say is, this is saying something.
You did not get the reaction you wanted.
But this is different we had before. What is this?
It's not. It's a different age.
A different age for a different type
of kid. Exactly.
Before was going to Unger.
Exactly.
For what?
This is for acquiring something, belonging to him.
Unger also was acquiring donuts.
Again, there he had money and he was going to buy something. He has to be older.
Acquire it.
Okay, you know what? Wait till the Mishnah, and by the Mishnah you still have problems we'll talk about.
I have problems, trust me.
Rashi, Tzvar v'Zarkai. Cutting should nice and light, Tzvar v'Zarkai, should nice and light, egg eyes, night light. Zarkai l'atma v'ayna zarkai l'acherim. If somebody, okay, so we, I only explained the first thing. Zeicher la'atzmai. Vein zeicher la'cherim means, however, he cannot act as an agent for others. So if I go over to the katan and I give him something for himself, it's his. But if I give him, I say, acquire it for somebody else, be as somebody else's agent, be mazak zeicher for him, he can't be that. So trashy. Be zeicha this object for somebody else. So if I gave a kid something and I say, do me a favor, pick it up for Rabbi Cohn, I can change my mind because a kid cannot acquire it for Rabbi Cohn. An adult, the minute he took it, would be acquiring it automatically because the zeicher was mushlem b'fanav. However, a kid does not have that power. But he, if you give it to the kid for himself, it becomes his. That's what Rav Asi said. Was Rav Asi or Rav Asi? Weiter. Chayvetz u'machzira la'achashav. Once a kid receives an item and knows that he has to give it back, like you say to him, you can have it, but I need it back in an hour. And he gives it back in an hour. So that means he's more mature. He now understands the concept of something not belonging to him that has to be returned. At that point, he could be zeicher for himself and for others. Rashi? When people ask him for it. That's Rav Asi's rule. When I said it in front of Shmuel, they're both the same. In fact, Gemara, my dov da achasi. What did Shmuel mean to say they're both the same? Amrav chizda echad zeh vechad zeh, zeichel atzmai vein zeichel acherim. Shmuel held that there's no age that a kid can acquire for somebody else. Both of these ages only allow him to acquire for himself, meaning nothing changes when he progresses from the age of recognizing the difference between a stone and a walnut to the age that he realizes that you have to give things back when they sometimes give it to you. It's only for a short while. Rashi, my agassi, shneim l'schus, or shneim shaloi l'schus, is both that he can put his zeicha, it's more being giving the kid more power or less power. And the answer is he's giving the kid less power.
The whole lumdus was, it's hard to survive.
No. That was pautas. Again, you're mixing pautas in. This has nothing to do with that.
What was the, by pautas, what would be the flip side if they couldn't, they would, the store owner would take it back? I mean, what would be the...
It's not his. Not a valid transaction. The money doesn't belong to the store owner. Yes. Something in my right there, Masa Rav Chinna Vardon. Rav Chinna from the city of Vardon, Rashi Ma'anchi Vardanya, Mokum, it's the name of a place. He asked the following question. The Mishnah says, Ketzad Mishtatrim B'mavoy. There's a halacha that says, this is similar. There's two halakhas that are very similar and different from each other. Similar, but yet different. There is a halakha that we do today called Erev Chatzeres. Erev Chatzeres means you have an enclosed area that's a chatzer. Let's say you have an apartment building and you have many Jewish tenants, residents in the apartment building. So the halakha is that the hallway is a communally owned thing, and each apartment is privately owned. So in order to carry from the apartment into the hallway, you have to make an Erev Chatzeres. That's an Erev Chatzeres, which we use bread. Today we use matzah, and therefore it works for a year until the matzah gets moldy, and you make an Erev Chatzeres. That allows us to take from a privately owned area into a Rishus HaYachid, that's owned by more than one person. It's a drabbanon dikur requirement. It's not biblical at all. Similarly, they used to have chatzeres opening to a mavui. A mavui was like a side street. except in this case, just for argument's sake, to keep things simple, it was enclosed on three sides, open on the fourth side. And on the fourth side, they used to do something, we'll just use the simple one, and make it Tzuras HaPesach. They made a form of a door. They didn't even need that, but I'm not going to get involved. I'm not learning Erevin now. And then they had to do the same thing for the Mavoi that they did for the Chatzar, because all Chatzaris have access to that Mavoi. So they had to make a Shitufei Mavoi. It's an other name for what was done in a Chatzar. We call it Erev Chatzaris. In a Mavoi, we call it Shitufei Mavoi. There you don't have to use bread. You can use wine, anything else. Now, one person donates it, could donate it, but he has to make it owned by everybody. So, Ketzad Mishtatun B'Mavoi, the Mishnah continues, V'nichas HaChavias, he puts down a barrel of wine. V'yomer, and he says, Harezu L'chol B'nei HaMavoi, this should go to all the people of the Mavoi. U'mezakalahem, Ayidei B'nai B'tei Agdailim, he can ask his son or daughter, who are G'daylim, which is a machlokes rishonim, what G'daylim here means, and I'll get to that in a moment. Or through his Jewish Eved Ivri, who's a regular Yid, or his Amma Ivriya, which is a Jewish maidservant. Now, the problem is, a Jewish maidservant goes free at 12. It's impossible to have a Jewish maidservant that is capable biblically of making kinyanim, because she goes free at 12. So obviously she's a ketana, and you're asking her to pick up this barrel of wine and acquire it for all the people in the Mavoi. So she's acquiring it not only for herself, but for others. And it says it works. Shmuel told us that at no age do we have a cut in acquiring for somebody else. Here we have a case where the Mishnah told us you can make a Shitufei Mavois and the Ketana can acquire it for all the people in the Mavoi. Shifcha Ivri is automatically a Ketana, because at 12 every Amavriya goes free. Now, hi Shivcha Hechidami. Either is a Shtei Saris, as a Shtei Saris, is she a Gdaila? My boy, Gabe. She's free. Elalav, the lay as a Shtei Saris. Uktani Zaychalacherim. So it's Kach on Shmuel. Let's do Rashi, and then I want to go back and explain things. Rashi, Mishtatum B'mavoi, Liaskala Chatzeris Mitzian L'Taychai. All the Chatzeris should be able to carry into it. Be tautul bekulam, and everybody should be able to carry in every chutzer. As a chavis, shayayim besoichel l'shituf. The stam shituf v'yayim. My boy gabe harayitz b'simanim. She goes out with simanim. Simanim means shtei saris. Now, benoy bitoy hakdailim is a machloikus. See, the question is it a machloikus or not? Let me try to explain. The Gemara Bat Metzia talks about that it's b'nai b'tei haktanim, when they find something, it belongs to dad. And b'nai b'tei hakdailim, when they find something, it belongs to themselves. There's a machloikus amaroim in Masechtas Bava Metzia. What is the translation of haktanim and gdailim vis-a-vis a found item? Shmuel says, I believe it's Shmuel, that says that, yeah, that it means under 13, over 13. Under 12, over 12, girl and boy. Rabbi Yochanan says, if the father supports them, they're ketanim for this. If the father doesn't support them, they're gdailim for this. So in the word b'nai b'tei hagdailim in Masechtas Bava Metzia, when it comes to the discussion of Metzia, there's an argument how to translate the word gdailim. Do you need a child that's self-sufficient, or can he be not self-sufficient, but he's over 13. Under 13, giving it to your child is like giving it to yourself. But over 13 is considered a separate entity. Or do you need him to be self-sufficient? There's a machloikus rishaynim. Does that machloikus apply here? According to some rishaynim, b'nai b'te agdailim, translate, see Gemara bab Matzia for more details. So to other rishaynim, when it comes to here, it's an age thing. Nothing to do with being in the... So machloikus rishaynim, I'm just explaining the word. Now, what's bothering us is the Shivcha Soya Ivrim. She's an 11-year-old girl, and she's been kaida the wine for everybody in the Mavli. And the question is, how can she do that? She's a ktana. Shmuel said a ktana cannot acquire for somebody else.
Even if she's self-sufficient?
Yes. First time she happens to be an Amavriya, but that doesn't make a difference. Yes, she's a ktana. Shmuel said a ktana can be cut and can be taken for himself, not for somebody else. Again, that was the case. That was the case. Again, Rav Asi was in Shmuel we're talking about. Somebody is giving a cut in a present. Can he be zayin for himself? Can he be zayin for others? And Shmuel said he cannot be zayin for others. And for the Gemara, Shaini Shitufei Muvois Rabbanon. That's a rabbinic requirement to begin with. So since it's a rabbinic requirement to begin with, we are more lenient in the ability of the cotton. Shmuel is saying a cotton cannot get it for somebody in a regular kinyan, which is biblical. But here the whole requirement of having a Shitufei Muvois is only rabbinic. And therefore, we are more lenient in how much acquisition you really need. And therefore, when a cotton picks it up for everybody else, it's good enough. It's only a rabbinic requirement anyway. Rabbanim were more lenient in the guidelines of what's necessary.
I hear you his own children.
What?
His own katana.
Not.
That's
not. That didn't do it, right. Rashi? That's Rashi. Stupid before us, Rabbanim. The Midrash say, "Nisr la'achnas la'aytil m'shusiyach l'shusarabim." Frank the Gemara Amarav Eichizda. So this was Rav Chanina Vardon's question and the answer given to him. Amarav Chizda Ishtik Vardon. Vardon became quiet, meaning he should not have accepted that answer. You know, he just didn't respond. He should have responded.
He didn't respond.
He says he should have. Rav Chizda is saying he should have responded. He's saying Vardan just got quiet. The Gemara is going to say obviously what he should have responded, right? Ishtig Vardan Zukrashi Nelam. He became mute, meaning in this area. Shulaheshiv Chuvam Taradzat. He didn't respond to the answer and say it's not a good answer. What should he have responded? My Havilah Lameimer. Called the Tikkun Rabbanon came to write the Tikkun. Rabbanon usually follow the guidelines of the Torah. Yes, they require Shetuvim Mavois only rabbinically, but once it's required, they would follow the guidelines of the Torah. Why in the world would they change the rules of acquisition? And he should have said to Shmuel, "No, Shmuel, I hate to break the news to you. Your answer doesn't work." Rashi, no Rashi. And for the Gemara, the Edoch, and Shmuel's response is, "Ki Amina called the Tikkun Rabbanon came to rise the Tikkun B'Milta the Isla Ikkun Matayra." When do we say that takanas are made following the biblical rules, meaning not changing the basics? That in something that's a rabbinic thing based on a deraisa. Avo Milta the Isla Ikkun Matayra, but something that's a takana that really is not based on a deraisa, there is no biblical ban on carrying from one Rosh Hashayach to another Rosh Hashayach ever. Tegzera, if we let you carry from one Rosh Hashayach to another Rosh Hashayach, you might carry to the street. But it's a whole new thing. It's not really a continuation of any deraisa. And therefore, when do we say, call the Tikkun Rabbanon again deraisa Tikkun? When there's halacha deraisa, and the Rabbanan expanded it. But when there's a new halacha based on gzeira, that's not called the Tikkun Rabbanan deraisa Tikkun. I have a most, it's less like a Tikkun Atayra. That's why Rav Chanina did not respond, because he got Shmuel's answer. That not always do we say, call the Tikkun Rabbanan Kedaraisa Tikkun. Yes?
Well, he's only
Zera
Atu, Atu, real versus Rabbanan. Is that what it is? Mubi is also to carry
the If you take a look at the Rashi we just read, it's a Tufim Bevoz Rabbanan. Read that Rashi.
It's too long.
So it's called, what is a?
Tegzera.
So what is a Mubi? What is the halacha? What is the class?
It's a Rishus Hayachid. It's an enclosed area.
It's a shared
Rishus Hayachid. Yes. A Chatzar is also a shared Rishus Hayachid. A Mubi is more differently shared. Why a Chatzar and Mubi are different is a Sugya and Erevin. We're not learning Erevin now. Big shaila, and again, I'm putting my foot in my mouth. I shouldn't even open this up. What are we doing? Well, we make an Erev today. I'm not talking about the structure. That's not it. Is it an Erev Chatzeres or is it Tufim Bevoz? What are our streets?
In the road.
What's Bendemira? What's anything? Again, is it a Chatzer or a Mavoy? Okay, so, you know, obviously it's not as simple as you think. It's the whole big tumult of Shulchan Aruch, how to do this. We do make the bracha, I believe, in Erev Chatzeres. I think that's the bracha they make. I'm not 100% sure. But there's a Ramah that we treat everything like a chatzer, and the question is why. It becomes problematic.
What is a hotel on Shabbos? Somebody just rents a whole hotel.
It's a chatzer.
They don't make
bracha, do they? Sure they do. Erev Chatzeres. Well, a minute. If you're in a city that has an Erev anyway, no. If you're in a city that doesn't have an Erev, yes, sure you make a bracha. I should take it back. Because hotels, there's other shilas that come up. If anybody in the hotel has a right to walk into every room, do you need an Erev?
Then you'll be able to walk in the hallway there.
We make an Erev, but we usually be without a bracha because it's questionable whether it needs one. Because the manager of the hotel, whatever it is, can really enter any room. And he can take his things, he can put his things, he can do what?
They use
Matzah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, Manish Shevitz brands.
No, I'm saying
you asked me a question, I answered.
Is that typical if you stay in some stays in a hotel, they should make
with a bunch of people?
With a bunch of people. If you're in your own thing, and it's only Goyim, there's no need. It's only when you have Jews. Jews are the ones that make the problem here, not
the Jews. You know,
they're
Jews, huh?
What?
No, they're not yet with them, but they're Jews.
To carry from there into the lobby, carry anything down.
It's the same. There are the Jews there. You're not with them. They're just Jews in the hotel. I mean,
so then you should rent. Then you do Sechiras Malkum. Again, it's very powerful. Again, when you live with Yidden and Goyim, you have to anyway rent the right to carry from the guy. Listen, I married my daughter off in Seven Springs. And in Seven Springs, you don't own anything. You own the house you bought, but all areas in between houses are owned by the
management company.
They own it. You have a right to use it. They own it.
Like a bungalow thing?
It's a nicer house than a bungalow. Trust me, it's a nicer house than you can ever imagine. What? They have nice houses there.
It's a thing.
It's a resort area. A lot of good things to do there for people like skiing and things like that. That's wonderful. It's also very expensive, but that's not the point. So I had to put up a tent. They put a tent where we ate. The carrying from the house to the tent became I love carrying. And there were a lot of from Yidden there, and a lot of not from Yidden there, and a lot of Goyim there. So we made an Erev, but we also had to be Seichr Makam. I went to the management, and I paid them, I believe I paid them 50 cents. And I said to them, I need to rent the right for us to carry in the thing. I rented the right to carry. Borrow gave me the exact words that she used, and I rented from them, and then we made an Erev Chatzeres. We needed both for the frum yidden, you need an Erev Chatzeres. And for the people that don't believe in Erev Chatzeres and Gayim, you have to do Schiris Makom. That's what they do in Cleveland Heights. We did Schiris Makom. They did Schiris Makom with the city manager, with the head of the police department, with the head of the fire department. They hold on, whoever, because they people have a right to be Schiris Makom because they can enter your house. The police department has a right to enter your house when necessary. And the fire department has a right to enter your house. So there are people that question Schiris Makom today. I'm not learning Erev now. There are people that question Schiris Makom today because once upon a time, the government had a right to enter your house when they felt like it. Today, if a police officer enters your house without the proper warrant and reason, he gets fired or gets prosecuted. So there are Gedali Yisrael that question the ability of Schiris Makom today, but we're Simach on Schiris Makom. Most Gedalim are still Simach on Schiris Makom. But you have to find the person that has that right. So we try to do a bunch of them, hoping that we get the right one. The fire department, the police department, the city. In those days it was a city manager. Today there's no city manager anymore, I don't think. I think there's a mayor now, but whatever it is. Right. Then we had a problem because they're not allowed to take presents. So you have to be psyched, you have to give them money. They're not allowed to accept presents. So the way around it was they wrote a certificate honoring the chief of fire department. In the middle of the certificate, they put a dollar coin. Like it looked as part of the certificate. And he can hang it in his office, and we gave him, he got the dollar, but he's not accepting a present because it's part of the certificate. So that's what it is. You walk into the office, they have that thing hanging, that we thank them and this and that. In the middle is a place for dollar, so a coin dollar, and that's a what?
Last forever,
so there's a shiloh if you have to do it every 20 years, every 25 years, every 50, that becomes a whole shiloh. And if they replace the guy, is he automatic? You have to do it again. There's all kinds of shilohs that happen. Yeah. But that's how we got around giving him a present, because they're not allowed to take a present. It's bribery. Even though the dollar is not going to get anywhere, but that's what it is. The head of the police department is not allowed to take a present from you.
Explain.
Yeah, but he's not allowed. He doesn't want to get into trouble.
What kind of trouble
does he get? So that's how they got around it. I mean, it's a nice certificate with a thing with a nice dollar in the middle, and it became his dollar. Yes, doctor.
As an aside, in general, most contracts have limitations. Someone wants to give you an honorarium, which is below a certain amount you're allowed to take. But what about salary? Is that a present, something of value that the person is receiving?
He's working for it. You're allowed to earn a salary. You're not allowed to take a present. Judges get salaries, but if they start taking presents, we call it treichet. Yeah, I mean, it's a difference between an earned salary and even that's schar batala by halacha. But there's a difference between bribery and a salary. You know what I mean? What? I can't hear you.
When the judge has to adjudicate something between an individual and the city, they have to
decide
the city because they're getting paid by the city.
If you work with somebody, you can't be a judge, right? Well, if I got him, that's the way it is. That's life. You know what I mean? No, every judge is paid by the state of Ohio. Who pays the judge of the Ohio courts? But they paskin cases against the state. Okay, that's my right. Masir Ravavia. Hamarimin Amaisr Sheni. Okay, now let me explain this. Halacha is, if you redeem your own Maisr Sheni, you have to add 25%. So if you have $1,000 worth of Maisr Sheni, you want to eat it out of your Shalayim, you got to redeem it for its value plus 25%. If you redeem somebody else's Maisr Sheni, you don't have to pay the 25%. That's the halacha. So if you're smart and you want to get around paying an extra 25%, you go over to your friends and say, listen, I have my Shishani. Would you like to redeem it? Now, if it's your friend, he'll redeem it for you, right? You'll give him back, make sure he gets back money one way or another. And meanwhile, you saved yourself 25%. Now, what if you want to use your kids? You give them money, tell them, please redeem my Maaser Sheni. Becomes their money, and they're now redeeming the Maaser Sheni for you. That's the way the Rishonim learn. So since they're doing it, there's no chaimish, even though they're doing it for you. But in order to do that, they have to acquire the Maaser Sheni for you. And how can that happen? Let's read it inside. Marimin on Maaser Sheni, Keta. I'm Radam Levnei Abitei Agdailim. Here is money. And redeem this Maaser Sheni, which a cotton can do. Redeeming is not buying. And do it for me. They're doing it for you. Now, if they do it for you, that means they're acquiring the Maaser for you. A cotton can't be Zeichel Acherim. Zokta Gemara, Haishiv Chechidam. Ida Asi Beisaris. Is she a gdaila? My boy gabe. Why is she there? Elalav deloyatze beisaris. So is a kash on Shmuel. So the Gemara, how come I skin him a meisim as man as edrabanon? It's rabbinic today. There's no chi of meisim anymore after the Churban Beis Hamikdash. It's drabanon, just like by Shitufei Mavoi, it's drabanon. We said drabanon were more. What am I looking for? What? Make them. I was looking for an English word. More lenient in the who can do it and who can do it for what. So they were mako by Maaser Bizman HaZed Rabbanon. Rashi. Marimin Levdaisai Beloy Chaimish. Sha'adam Maaser Chaimish, and I translated Chaimish as 25% because that's 20% of the total. Because Shepaitas HaMaaser Sheni Shaloi. Ve'inam Maaser Chaimish HaShalacherim im Kaneo Mechaver Rebbe buys it from his friend. Redeem my Maaser Sheni. There are others. They are around this table, meaning he doesn't have to be afraid that they're going to walk away with it. Right? These are the people he can trust. You go to your kids, they're not going to walk away with it. They're going to do it for you. Is there an Amar Vriya after the Churban Beis Hamikdash? The Tanya we learned. Ain't Eved Ivri Nayeg of Azman Shayayvu Nayeg. The whole parish of Eved Ivri and Amar Vriya was only when there was Yayvul. And there was no Yayvul, there's no Amar Vriya. So Azman Azad, there's no Amar Vriya. Zakhti Gemara, you're right. Ella Ba'atut Shein Enoch of Drabona. It's talking about in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. There is an Amar Vriya. And we're talking about a flower pot that does not have a hole in it. So the whole key of Maaser is only rabbinic? So it's a Maaser that's rabbinic. Rashi? Look, Rashi? No Rashi. Yeah, yes, there is Rashi. Elbez man shayayv undayig. The be'in of the ish ha-mishpachta teshuvu. Because the pasuk requires the ability to go back at yayvo. And if there's no yayvo, there's no amavriya. Yes, you can.
Earlier when talking about the mavoi, we talked about the lislay ikram in a Torah.
Right.
That doesn't exist. But Maaser Sheni is different or the same?
Much ink has been spilt on this question. Yeshua asked the question. A whole bunch of other people asked the question. Is Maaser Sheni considered less than Ikum and Atayra? Right. Maaser Sheni is biblical. Shetuvim of Oz doesn't exist in the Torah. Maaser Sheni is biblical. When the Churban Beis HaMikdash happened, it's no longer biblical, it's rabbinic. Or Atzeh Shein Enokov is rabbinic. Is that Ikum and Atayra or not Ikum and Atayra? So a lot of Achrayim want to prove from here that that's not called Ikum and Atayra because it doesn't exist anymore biblically. That's not out there. And therefore, if Ikum and Atayra would be an expansion or an existing Deraisa, not an existing Deraisa, the Deraisa is gone. That's what they want to say. Others, the Bnei Yeshua wants to say that it is Ikum and Atayra, and he gives another teretz that I didn't understand.
So there should be came to Risa? In other words,
that's the Shaila. But she's asking, why don't we say the same Gemara's Kasha called the Tikkun Rabban again, the Risa Tikkun? Who asked your Kasha? Everybody asked your Kasha. The question is for the answer. Atashay Nenakov, is that a Drabana with an Ikum and Atayra, not an Ikum and Atayra? I mean, the Maisa, there was Maisa Shani. They expanded it to a flower pot that doesn't have a hole. Is that called a new thing? Is that called expansion? This is what, again, the Peshua accepts that it's Yesh Ikum and Atayra, and it gives a different answer, which I didn't understand.
What's she doing this kind of with this harama? She's acquiring for him?
Yes. That's how a lot of rich item work. Zog to Gemara Vayter. Amar Rava, and this is the halacha I wanted Rabbi Koster here, this next piece of Gemara. Amar Rava. Gimu midas bekatan. There are three levels in the ability to acquire for a katan. Sarah v'zarkai, egeis v'natmai. When a child is old enough to differentiate between a stone and a walnut. Zaykhala atzmai vein zaykhala acherim. Ukenegdan, and at that very same age, biktana miskadeshes lemiyun. A ktana is old enough that her brother or her mother can marry her off rabbinically. She's old enough, her father can marry her off the day she's born. But a daughter, brother and a mother are only allowed to marry off their sister, daughter, rabbinically. What age does she have to be when that Rabbanon right kicks in? Zok to Gemara, the age of differentiating between a stone and a walnut. Rashi?
Miskadeshes means for marriage or for mion?
Miskadeshes to the level that she could do mion afterwards. It's rabbinic. It's like saying Miskadeshes Midrabanan. That's what it's saying. Rashi. Shalosh Midas Chalukas Beschias Katan. Ukenegdam Bektana Choshev Lo Yedas Lishmer Kedusha. She's considered enough to understand that she's getting married. That's the age she has to be. She's got to understand marriage. Umiskadeshes Kedusha Iba Ayachia Ledaita. She has to agree, by the way, when the mother or brother marry her off, she has to agree. Her agreement is good enough at that age. I, this is a chiddush in Rashi, the kabbalas atzma im yisaymehi. Im yisaymehi is going on the mother and the brother also. She's allowed to marry herself off. It's a chiddush in Rashi. She's a big shayla. Does the ktana have a right to marry herself off? Her brother can marry her off. Her mother can marry her off with her agreement. Can she marry herself off? Rashi says yes.
We're looking at it for the girl. Let's say, for example, I would say
four.
I would say three.
Three. Okay, three.
So, you mean to tell me?
Yes.
A four-year-old.
Yes, I just said yes. I mean to tell you that.
Okay, you mean to tell me a four-year-old girl? Can we say the Kadeshes?
Huh?
She understands what you're talking about?
Yeah, sure, because she plays house all the time.
I may have a customer. No, I'm not joking. Come on, Rebbe, come on. A four-year-old girl knows she's married?
She plays house. One is the tati, and one is the mommy, and the babies, and they fight with Juju me what?
Is borrowing and returning the same level as the non-existent?
We're not finished yet. Don't think about it. Ha-pu'utais, here we are, pu'utais. Memka b'metaltlin. U'kinegdan, b'ktanim is gareshes b'kedushi avia. At that point, she knows divorce. Rashi's opinion is, girls understand marriage well before they understand the concept of being kicked out. That's Rashi's opinion. I mean, according to Rashi, the Gemara says that. Rashi, Putais, Namban Nizokin, the Mechum Tautlin, Uparshinan Kavashitz Kavatamdi, we said it between 6 and 8. Ukenegdan Bektanam, Shigil, Yam Halolu, Mashalkovena Kazarashkinabe. She gets the message that she's not supposed to come back. Right? Viskareshes b'kabolas atzma afilu kibubo avir kedushin umeis. Ava Bishik Nishal Kedushim Natayrus. You can get divorced biblically. Means rabbinic marriage is allowed at a much earlier age than biblical divorce. The third level of Ketanim is Higiyah La'inus Nadarim, when they become a year before Bar Bas Mitzvah. Nidreyem Neder, then Deshan Hegdish. Their Neder is a Neder, and their Hegdish is a Hegdish. Who connect them B'Ketanah Chaletzos. And at that old, that age, they are ready, if they have Shtei Saris, we are willing to classify them as adult to get Chalitza. This is a big machloikus, but this is, the Gemara calls it Rav Ashi, the Taisus changes it to Rabbah, that at age 11, if a girl develops Shtei Saris, we're willing to consider her a Gdaila. For Chalitza, And she's allowed to get chalitza. Rashi?
I thought this was
three levels of katana. Right, so it's underage, because it's not 12. Rashi? Igiyu lo'inus nedarim, shona achas lefnei nareseha, nedarim nivdakin. We ask her that she understand the concept of neder, because it's not mesech lefnida. Bas achas esher shona v'yamecha, nedarim nivdakin. We ask her, do you understand what you're doing? We don't say it's a wart. The ish ksiv b'parsha says he has to be adult. Makshin and ish al ish, and the woman is like a adult. Now, this is a big problem. If the Gemara in elsewhere says that to get chalitza she has to be actually over 12. And here it seems to say that at 11, we're willing to do it. So this is a big problem. Rashi seems to say that we're going like the Mandiyomer that says, it's Machloik is doing the 12th year, can she become a Gdaila? Rashi seems to say that if she develops Shtei Saris, we consider her a Gdaila. Right? Other Rishayim are not happy with that at all. So Taisus learns that the Gemara elsewhere is going like Rava, and this is Rava. Not Rabba. That's what Taisus answers. That Rabba allows Chalitza by Ektana. That's what Taisus seems to learn. It's a big problem. It's a problem because usually Chalitza has to be a Gdaila, and she is 11, she's not 12. So Rashi seems to say this is going like the Man Yaman and says she can become a Gdaila within the 12th year, which is a Machloikas. And let me just finish the next line. The Limkar B'nichse Aviv Ache Be'ashim. To sell land that a person inherited, we don't let a person sell land till he's 20. Not because of his inability to make a kinyan, but because we like land to stay in family. And therefore, we don't trust anybody under 20 to be able to make that weighty decision of selling off family land. Ashi, v'lim k'benichsi avikakos, ache ben eshim, havikotin. Fine. Now, you had a question at the beginning of the day. Is it still pertinent?
It's all here.
That's what I meant.
Now,
Rashi's gear says the way we learned the Gemara, that a girl is of age to get married rabbinically as soon as she knows the difference between a rock
and a hard
one. Terry.
Okay.
And to accept biblical Gerushin, she has to be older. The Riff has the opposite Gerushin. He has, she can accept a get once she knows the difference between a stone and a walnut. Then, because get doesn't need that das, she just has to know she's divorced. But she can't get married rabbinically until she's the age of Pultais. So the Riff listened to Rabbi Cohn. And his Gershon, the Gemara, not he listened to Rabbi Cohn, was that Adarabba. For Gershon, you don't need Das, that's a much earlier age. Even biblical Gershon. But rabbinic marriage, she has to be older than that. She has to be the age of Pu'utais. That's how the Riff is Gershon. So it's a Machlaikas Gershon, the Gemara. But we learn Rashi.
Riff doesn't agree with me. I'm learning with a new person tonight. I should learn with you. I can't recall someone living with me.
at that time, maybe Dr. Schwab could tell us, that time maybe three-year-olds were smarter than...
Is the pavement from Zero Lakhar Shah the same as the stone in the walnut? It's the same layer?
No, it's a higher level. Yeah. The Gemara said it's higher. He didn't bring that category in. He calls that Shmuel. That it doesn't make a difference. That age makes no difference. That was Ravasi's categories. I have no answer for you. What am I supposed to tell you? I will say the following. I will say the following. Is that marriage was much more real to those people than it is today. There rarely was a 12 and a half year old girl not married. They were all married before 12 and a half. Most of them even before 12. Life expectancy was short. People had to their money was tight. People needed to be taken care of. A husband took care of his wife. You also had Goyim, especially in the Middle Ages, but in the time of Gemara, I don't know. You wanted your kids safe, and the only safety was marriage. A 12 and a half year old girl was considered extremely old, not married. So girls were getting married at 9, 10, 11, 12. And now, when a girl was already, she saw her older sister at 9 already has a husband. So the concept of marriage was a real factor. Today, you walk to a 10-year-old girl and you talk to her about marriage, she looks at you like you're crazy.
You get arrested.
No, he said you talk to her about the concept of marriage. She says, who are you going to marry? What do you mean, who are you going to marry? I'm 10 years old. So I think you're judging, your question is, I'm not saying I don't understand it at all. But you're judging it from a culture that marriage is not in play till 1819.
Talks about 3 and 4 year olds.
Again, they were married at 8. All of them were married at 8, 9. A 12 and a half year old that wasn't married, they were saying Tehillim for. So it's a different culture. Marriage was real to a 3 or 4 year old.
Oh.
She was
for real.
Right. I mean, it became especially fathers were marrying off their daughters very young. Her friend's father just married her off, and she's still single for. Her father was Makabel Kedushin. By the way, they didn't have to do Nisuin; they did Kedushin. Nisuin can be delayed. Listen, we didn't have that. But they were Gedali Yisrael. They got engaged at 5, at 6, at 7. Who? I know for sure. They say over the Chanukah Satira. Have you heard of him? The Rebbe of Heschel. He was a Rebbe of the Shach. He was 7 years old, and he went to meet his prospective father-in-law. And they were at an inn, and there was no swarm there. And the father-in-law wanted to give him a bechina. To know that he's getting a son that's a son-in-law that knows how to learn. And the kid was 7. So there was a sinner there. So the father-in-law said, if you're such a good boy that they say you are, you can say a sinner also. So he said the following part. Says, Rabbi Shmuel, Leimer, B'shloish, Esher, Midas, Hatayr, Nitreshes, Vem. Mikal, B'chaymer, Miprag, Seher, Shever, Mikal, Patrick, Laut. He said he has 3 kashas. Who named your kid Shmuel? You don't name for a Russia. Also, why does it say Tanya Rabbi Shmuel Eimer? It should be Amar Rabbi Shmuel. It's a new statement. Rabbi Shmuel Eimer seems to be a reaction. And third of all, Klal Prat to Klal, Ein Mugdim Mucha B'Tayra. How can you dash in Klal Prat to Klal? The order is out of order. He was 7, by the way. So he said, one answer answers all. The Gemara says that we learn not Yishmuel did tshuva because it says, Vayigburu Aysa Yitzchak Vishmuel Banov. Ein Mugdim Mucha B'Tayra. How can you darshan from the fact that it put Yitzchak first? Teretz is, in the same pasuk, we say, yes, mugdim mabucha b'tayra. That's how we learn how Yishmol did tshuva. So he said, Rabbi Shmuel, Eimer, because his name was Yishmol, it was a raya that his Yishmol wasn't a Russia. So he can say, Klal Patu Klal, Eina Dega Prat. Because his whole name is built on the fact that in the same Pasuk, there is no, there's Yeshmuk the Mucham Atayr. He said this when he was seven and he got engaged, okay? This is the word he said. What? Because then it's because his name is Yishmael, Eimer, he can say the following. He said this when he was seven. They used to do this. Everybody's having a wonderful day.